Hi, I'm Jack Grimmer of Wycombe Wanderers, and you're listening to Wycombe Sound.
The Wycombe Wanderers Show.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Wycombe Wanderers Show. Maybe an international break, no game to look forward to with the postponement of the trip to Stockport on Saturday, but plenty to bring you in the next hour, including our usual chat with Phil coming up, including news of a game today involving many first team players, including a return for someone who's been out for a while. I look forward to finding out more about Brandon Hanlon very soon as well, and news on Wanderers TV, where you can hear an interview with him and more from manager Matt Bloomfield after the behind closed doors game at QPR this afternoon. Also coming up this hour, we'll hear from Captain Jack. Jack Grimmer joins us a little later on as well. We'll be looking ahead to the Women's FA Cup as well, the third qualifying round at home to Comets. Axel joins us. He'll be hopefully playing up front in that game as well, or at least somewhere in the forward forward line. More on that as well. Also, thanks to Wycombe Wanderers Ex-Players Association, I was very fortunate to be invited to an annual event which was at the Bullet Bishop yesterday, in fact, a fantastic lunch where a number of legends of the club, it's fair to say, from the 50s and 60s were in attendance, and we'll hear from a number of those, including three wingers. Sounds like the start of a joke, doesn't it? There are three wingers in a bar. And I spoke to them. That's on the way in a few moments' time. But first, let's catch up with Phil with news of lots going on this week, including the Manager of the Month nomination for the manager for September.
Yeah, brilliant. And it's always nice to get these recognitions, I think, for the manager. And no doubt he will pass on the praise as well for his team and the players, because they've all collectively had a fantastic month. He's up against some pretty stiff competition. Steve Bruce, who made such a wonderful start as manager at Blackpool. You've got the guy at Birmingham as well. You know, the results have been excellent. I know everyone does it with the backdrop of, yes, but they're spending loads of money, but you still got to win the games. So, yeah, look, there's some really good managers in League One. There's some really good teams as well. So to be to even be nominated, I think, is brilliant. And then, you know, there is that sort of folklore, and I've not got the stats to back this up, but everyone says, oh, you know, the curse of manager of the month, you know, because when you win it, then the next thing you do is lose your next game. I'm not sure if that actually pans out if you look at the stats or not, but for safety's sake, if the gaffer wasn't to win it, then we could safely say that we could probably win our next game, but we shall see. I mean, who's superstitious these days? Certainly not me. So, you know, first and foremost, if gaffer wins it, brilliant. But then just to be nominated, I think, in the company he's in the league that we're in, I think is a testament to the fantastic month they've had.
And really nice as well, being award season, it seems, that David Wheeler was nominated for the Green Prize, which is always, you know, great for the club to have that link as well. And also the foundation, you know, was runner-up at the Bucks Business Awards last night, of course, for their apprenticeships, which is also a great advert for the club too.
Yeah, you know, it's great that the club are doing so many things, you know, outside of what's going on with the football. The foundation do brilliant things, many varied things, certainly away from the game of football as well, but under the banner of the Wycombe Wanderers Foundation. You know, we saw that lovely clip of Jack Young and Taylor doing their ballroom dancing in Huindon last week. They do so many good things, you know, with mental health, with inclusion across society, and also promoting Wycombe Wanderers as well. And, you know, the apprentice scheme at the foundation has been excellent, and it's been great to have them around the club as well, and what they contribute to the foundation and also the club. So congratulations to them, and also to Wills as well. Like you mentioned, his BBC Green Sports Personality, or the Green Sports Personality of the Year Award, second year in a row he's been nominated, and justifiably so as well, because he's the first ever Green spokesperson or player at the Professional Footballers Association. He puts his money where his mouth is when it comes to this, and I think a great example of the environment at Wycombe, that you are allowed to be who you want to be, and, you know, and you can and pursue these things outside of the game. And we all know and love Wills, and we all know what he stands for, and he's a guy that's switched on when it comes to politics and climate, and he likes to spread the word and use his platform. So congratulations to him too.
Ballroom dancing in Huindon should have its own show by itself, or at least a segment on this programme.
Absolutely, yes, it was excellent. If you've not seen it, I urge you to go onto the Wycombe Wanderers website and find that clip. It's heartwarming stuff, Colin.
No, absolutely. And as you say, great that the players are involved in the community too, obviously.
Yeah, it's a large part of what a club like Wycombe Wanderers should be doing and is doing. You know, like I say, it's not just about the football on a Saturday. That's a large part of what we do and our identity. But, you know, football clubs mean so much more to the communities than just the football. We saw that during the pandemic. We continue to see that now through the work of the club and the foundation. So I think we should celebrate it where we can, and great that Bucks Business Awards have done so.
And Wanderers TV subscribers would have seen this week a chat with Brandon Hanlon that you recorded at the end of last month, saying that his return is just around the corner. In fact, his return has happened today.
Yeah, that corner was a little bit nearer than we thought. We sat down with Brand the other week, and knowing that there could well be a gap in our schedule with a potential game being called off, which has happened with Stockport County postponing our match due to international call-ups. So, but we also got word earlier this week that Brandon was being lined up to make his first appearance of the season in a behind-closed-doors friendly match against Queen's Park Rangers, which took place this afternoon. And Brandon came off the bench and crossed the white line for the first time in 11 months. So, yeah, it was great. And it was great to be there to see it as well. There'll be another little package on Brandon coming on Wanderers TV tomorrow, because, you know, it's a big moment for a player. And I think one of the big things, Colin, that, you know, I've been following Brandon's sort of recovery. We've been dipping in and out of it and getting updates from him as he's gone. It's a long, slow process. It can be a lonely process. But the moment when he went onto the pitch, across the white line, and you can hear the applause and the shouts of encouragement from the staff, his teammates, and the people from the club who were at the game. It was a behind closed doors game, so it's not a huge amount of people, but the amount of warmth and love for Brandon from within the group was really lovely to experience.
And something else will be on Wanderers TV later on is your full chat with the manager afterwards, but I'm sure he, you know, will really get the benefit of such games.
Yeah, I think with the cancellation of the game this weekend, I think was important to not give just the players who've been playing minutes, but also to keep everybody match sharp. And I think, you know, as he said in his interview, that he was really impressed with the attitude and application of the players today, because he said it's difficult for them. If they're frustrated at not getting minutes or whatever, you know, it's only down to them, and their attitude and application has to be spot on. And it certainly was today. It was an excellent team performance today. And I think as well, with Harlington being where it is, it was, I think, an 8-minute drive, I think, for the training ground. So quite a handy location to take on an excellent opponent in Queen's Park Rangers. So thank you for them, for their hospitality today. And yeah, it was a really good workout for everybody. You know, like we say, great opportunity for Brandon. You know, Fred Onyedimba got another goal and some really vital minutes as he builds his match fitness. And building on his first goal in this spell at this club in the league last Saturday as well. Some really good performances from 1 to 11.
And also nice to see the likes of Luke Leahy's return continuing, and also Jasper Patton getting some time on the grass as well, because he's having a good time recently as well.
Yeah, I think, like we say, it's players who need to keep themselves ticking over and match sharp and ready when the call comes, because the call will come, because looking at the schedule coming up, it's going to be incredibly busy. If Wycombe Wanderers can beat Crawley Town in the Bristol Street Motors Trophy, the final group stage, I think we need, if we win, we certainly go through. I think even if we draw and lose the penalty shootout for the bonus point, I think we would still have enough to get through. I haven't exactly done the maths on that, but the point being, if we get out of the group stage of the Football League Trophy and into the knockout rounds and progress at the rate we did last season, then there's going to be extra games there. We have the FA Cup coming up soon in November, and we have the Mansfield Town game that needs to be rearranged. We have the Stockport County game now that needs to be arranged. There's another international break in November. We're not sure about whether that game's going to take place or not. You know, obviously, it's largely out of our control when our opponents have players called up. So these games will then have to be slotted in into midweek fixtures on top of all the cup ones as well. So we talk about the size of the squad. And at the moment, you know, fans are enjoying the strength and depth that we have. The manager as well. There's quality now all over the pitch, and deep quality too. But they're all going to get the call. So these games are vitally important, that they keep mentally switched on, they're physically fit, they're match sharp, because they're going to get the call. And they need to keep their attitude and application right, as the gaffer's pointed out, and they certainly did that.
And the result against Crawley, of course, maintains this unbeaten run, and it really feels like, you know, some momentum is being gathered.
Yeah, momentum is the big word. It's brilliant to see that the run that the club are on, and to see them flying high in the table as well, fifth at this stage. I know we haven't got to the magic 10-game mark yet, which is the one I always sort of stand by. And who knows where we could be after 10 games, because it's quite a tight table. Even Birmingham City lost last weekend as well. So, you know, if Wickham are to win the next couple of games or game or two, then it could propel them even higher up the table. But they're certainly in with a shout at the top end of the table after this sort of short sample that we've got, which is really great to see. And the work that's been put in and the direction that the club are travelling in and the momentum word again, it all looks good. And we've got some big games coming up too. Peterborough at home next Saturday, or week on Saturday for the early kickoff. Regardless of the scenario or anything, that's always a big game. And it's normally always a very entertaining game as well. And I know fans who've been coming to Adams Park or been able to watch the games either on Sky or online, or even listening in on Wickham Sound or on Wanderers TV, would have noticed that the style of play has changed as well. But the results are there too, which is hugely important. And that's an obvious thing to say, because football's all about results. But Wickham Wanderers are playing in a very different way. And it's lovely to watch. And when the results are coming too, then fantastic.
And with such a congested schedule, it's really nice for all the players to have this weekend off as well, I imagine.
Yeah, the gaffer said that about they've got some time now to rest and recuperate, spend time with their families. You know, and that's an important opportunity at this stage of the season as well, because we're into October. There's a long way to go yet in the season, and it's a long season. So it's about looking after yourself physically and mentally. So when these opportunities come up, even if they're out of our control, they have to be grasped and used positively. Because I think a lot of us would love to be playing the game on Saturday with the momentum we have. But, you know, in this circumstance, it's out of our control. We've now got to look at it and think, OK, it's an opportunity to rest and recuperate where we can and be ready for next Saturday when Peterborough comes to town for the early kickoff.
Well, it's been great to speak to you as always. Enjoy your weekend as well, and look forward to catching up with you next week.
Always a pleasure, Colin. Thank you very much.
Phil Catchpole, everyone. Do check out Wanderers TV as well for a full chat with Brandon Hannon. Look out for that on his return. And also the manager's thoughts on that behind closed doors game against QPR this afternoon.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire. And on your smart speaker.
Play Wycombe Sound.
This is Wycombe Sound.
Part two of this week's Wycombe Wanderers show still to come. We'll hear from Wycombe Wanderers women forward Axel Corlander, who is a forward, but as you'll hear, has occupied a number of other positions on the pitch as well. And we'll hear from Captain Jack Grimmer as well. But first, with thanks to Wycombe Wanderers Ex-Player Association, I was fortunate yesterday to be invited to an annual event which takes place at the Bullet at Bisham, and it's a brilliant opportunity for players from the 50s and 60s and perhaps others as well to get together and share memories. There are a number of wingers, three, including legendary Len Worley, who we'll hear from in a couple of moments' time. First, we spoke to Les Merrick, but first, Vince Free, to get their thoughts.
I quite enjoy coming with him, but I don't enjoy the game anymore. I think it's rubbish.
And what would you say your standout memories from your time at the club?
Nothing really. I always, even when I played as a schoolboy, the introduction music you got when you went onto the pitch, that always stuck in my mind. It would have been the same when you were there, I suppose.
Well, it was the same tune, Entrance of the Gladiators, wasn't it? Yeah.
No, fantastic. And obviously, similar for yourself, you must really enjoy these kind of get-togethers with former
absolutely.
Players.
Absolutely. Well, there's six or eight of us who play golf every week, and we do that on a regular basis, so I still see them quite regularly.
And does it really take you back to that time when you were in the dressing room together?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, we always have a drink afterwards and have a chat sometimes about the old days and football. So, yeah, it's always interesting, you know, just to hear other people's point of view and what they do these days, of course.
And what would you say are your kind of standout memories from your 10 seasons?
I can just remember one season where I think for the first six games I scored a goal in every game. And I can just remember a headline in the part, a goal a game Merrick in the Bucks Free Press. And that, I've still got that paper.
And brilliant to be playing for your local club, of course.
Absolutely right. Yeah, I only lived it just over half a mile away, so I walked there every time, which is not very good because I didn't get any expenses for bus fares.
But, you used to play on the left, didn't you?
On the left, yeah. I would have been, I'm right-footed, and I would have played on the right in preference, but unfortunately we had Len Worley, who was an amateur international. Next position would have been centre forward. Paul Bates was an international, so I was stuck out under the shed at the bottom.
And Vince, was the wing something you were always drawn to?
Well, I mean, I played with Len and with Paul Bates, and Len Worley and myself, we were trainee surveyors at Lowell's at the same time. We used to have some great table tennis games.
And how did you find the slope? That must have been very interesting for a winger.
Hard work down the bottom trying to get it up. Because in those days, the ball you finished with was twice the weight of what you started with. A bit different today, I think.
And fantastic sort of crowd support as well at Lokes Park.
I think we used to get as many then as they get today. It's the same when you were there, wasn't it?
Absolutely. The shed at the bottom, the stand as they used to call the shed underneath there. If you were on that wing, you did get quite a lot of abuse from under the stand.
I remember that as well.
And in a way, was it the sort of the amateur days that made it a bit more special that you were?
Well, I think what the difference to me was that, as Les was saying, majority of us were local people, and you've got great pleasure out of playing for your local side. I was born and bred in Terriers, which is a mile and a half away, sort of thing.
Was it literally an ambition of yours to play for the club?
I wouldn't say an ambition. I mean, it just seemed to happen. I mean, I wasn't too bad at school level. I played for Parks and Bucks schoolboys, and we played against people like Jimmy Greaves and that sort of stuff. Les is a bit younger than me. You came after me, didn't you? Yeah, I mean, it was a great pleasure.
And Les, it feels like, you know, speaking to ex-players, each kind of era or generation seems special, but did it feel special at the time when you were playing?
Oh, absolutely unbelievable. I mean, I played for football in the school and for the local side, the local Holtzmer. And never had any sort of real ambition or even thought I'd ever be playing for Wickham, and that was just out of this world to my mind. But I was there for, you know, quite a few years, and well, still all the guys that I knew then are around here now, or are most of them anyway, so it's brilliant.
Does it feel different, sort of reflect, as opposed to as it was at the time? Does it feel better, different to sort of look back and how it compares with, say, everything else you've done in your life as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's so good that things like this happen. Everybody gets together. As I say, I still play golf with the guys every week. We meet up every so often. We were at the dinner the other week down at Lokes Park with the supporters and everybody. So that was, you know, it's all still good to keep in with everybody and have a chat.
Real pleasure to chat to Les Merrick, and also Vince Free joined us at the table as well, mentioning Len Worley, the legendary left winger who we had on the show recently as well. Sat down with him too, along with former goalkeeper Colin Bunting. But as you can imagine, Len Worley especially enjoys these occasions too.
It's always something to look forward to reconnect with your old, you know, friends, really. And it's just good.
Just lovely to get together again.
Yeah,
it really
right.
is, to meet up with older players that you played with years ago, isn't it? It's great to meet up.
And does it bring back all those memories of that time in the dressing rooms? And
yes, memories you've played together. I didn't play with Len so many times as he played for Wickham, nowhere near. But I've had my period of time, 70-odd games I had, but then played hundreds of games. I don't know how many.
15 years.
I was at the club for 10 years, plus a bit of national service tied up with it. Yeah, as well.
And did it feel as special at the time, or is it more when you reflect back, does it feel special to have played for the club?
Yes, it does.
Always has been.
Since the ex-players was formed, it's been a great honour for all of us, I think I'm right in saying, to come to a function like this and meet up together again.
Which is unusual. It really is unusual that we have this ex-players union and people, you know, see each other every year on a regular basis.
And then do you get so much joy out of hearing other people's stories as well from their time at the club?
Yeah, that's right. You know, everybody's history is different and you catch up and they tell you, you know, what's happened and how life is with them, etc.
And does it feel quite fresh in your mind? Because we spoke to you the other week and it's almost like 70 years ago, isn't it?
It's 70 years ago.
Yeah, it's a long time, lad. It really is a long time.
Does it still feel fresh in your mind that you can sort of get it?
Yeah, the days we played, I believe I'm right in saying, it's fresh in our minds, isn't it? You can look back on certain games and remember them quite distinctively. I can, anyway.
What would you say are kind of standout memories for you?
To me personally, I played 70-odd games. The two games that stand up most in my mind are one against Gravesend and Northfleet, second round of the FA Cup, and another one in the FA Amateur Cup at Spennymoor.
What were the conditions like?
We played at Wickham the first game. We drew two each in terrible conditions, very thick mud. It was up there. We went up to Spennymoor, got up there. It was like playing on a slag heap. It was this changing rooms. I never forgot that. I don't know if you remember it then. We went into the changing rooms, had our shower afterwards, and there was corrugated tin sheds came down all round the bath. And the girls ran along the back laughing at us all in the bath. It was quite funny at the time. I remember that. Do you remember it?
Yeah.
Len, quite unique things happen in changing rooms, don't they?
Yeah, but I think the one thing that sticks in my mind very much is the changing rooms at Wickham, there was never a swear word.
No,
that is quite unique. You know?
You know,
some players are recognised for sort of industrial language, but at Wickham there was never any industrial language. Really, really nice guys. Genuine guys.
Yes.
And I bet you couldn't imagine that you'd still be in touch today.
Couldn't imagine that.
I've been in touch with my son who played for Wickham and for Slough, and it was a different era at that time. After you go in the dressing room, not the same type of people as what we were associated with. Doctors, wasn't there, and solicitors, and all those sort of people.
Surveyors. Surveyors.
Surveyors, including Len Worley. Pleasure to chat to them both, the legendary left winger Len Worley, and also former goalkeeper Colin Bunting, who revealed to me that whilst playing against Hounslow, he suffered quite an injury in a rather uncompromising place. Probably won't thank me for revealing that. Also, after the meal, got to speak to the very friendly and always happy to chat Keith Samuels and Vince Faulkner. There is a moment in this as well where Keith knocks on wood. It's more of a visual reference, to be honest, but you can listen out for it. And as you can imagine, they were very pleased with the outcome of the event.
We could do it more often, but I think then you get a bit blasé about it. But when you see, especially the older ones, you know, I mean, I'm old enough, but it's great to see them and to see they're all still around and having a laugh and a joke and carrying on as we used to when we were in the dressing room, some of us. And obviously, as you know, that there was four or five of us today who still play golf together after 60-odd years. And it's, you know, we all look forward to coming here and meeting everybody that we, you know, even the older ones like Dennis, Ray Elson, Vince Free. There's two or three that used to come who obviously never made it this year. We're hoping to see them next year. Touch wood. I look forward to seeing some of them at some of the games, perhaps, you know, in our box.
And Vince, I know you've spoken before, the camaraderie is really special.
No, this is it. I mean, so just echoing everything that Keith just said, it brings home what I've always described as, and everybody knows, as the Wickham family. At the end of the day, you know, there were 16 of us here today, including yourself, and it was lovely to see you and be part of it as well. So thank you for your time and efforts coming down today. So that was great. But no, it's lovely, as Keith said, to see Dennis and the other guy was down here, Ray, and that, and the other Vince Free. It's lovely to see them all, and you know, we're different eras, but we're all of one. You know, we're all members of Wickham Wanderers Football Club, so that's the thing that we've got going for us. So,
and Keith, that's really special, isn't it? Because you've all shared sort of similar, obviously, the dressing room experiences and playing against different teams.
I think, you know, compared to a lot of clubs, the camaraderie between Wickham players is a bit different to other clubs. As I say, there's others. John Maskell couldn't be here today. He's another one of our mates who we still see. And as I say, people like Dennis, who's 93, you know, to see him here, is, and you know, he struggled to get down here, but he has made it, you know. And hopefully we'll see him next year, and we'll all be around for next year, and we can have a laugh and a joke again. Been great, thoroughly enjoyed it.
And Vince, there's that local link as well. Like so many of you were local at the time playing for your local club, and still local now.
That's right, yeah, all of us. As I say, well, some of us have moved away. I live up near Silverstone now, and Keith Sell, who's come with us today, he lives up near me, because we're both up near Milton Keynes, Silverstone way. So, but it's all a family unit, and as we've said with the golf, just without boring you, with the people that play, we go to Western Turville on a Tuesday, basically, because it's central to where we all live. The camaraderie is second to none. You can't knock it. It's brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
And Keith, there's a real sense of community within sort of this group as well.
Well, yeah, I think there is. Yeah, I mean, Lenny Worley, I always have a laugh and a joke with him, as you found out today, and he takes it in good heart. And as I say, you know, a lot of people think, you know, footballers, you know, their sense of humour is a bit different, and they don't understand. But the way that the dressing room was, and the way we are now, still the same. You know, we still carry on like on the golf course. We still carry on as it was in the dressing room. You know,
but we're the same people, aren't we? People, we are the same people. You know, really, at the end of the day, we're older. All, you know, reminisce with our families and everything else. And it's just as I said, it's just great to be part of. It's lovely.
You know, when we played, your wife and kids came with you on the coach. Now the players go on the coach, and you know, their relatives or whatever have to make their own way or whatever, another way. But we used to take the kids on the coach. We always used to stop at Shepherd's Bush on the way back and have a meal, and you know, they were brought up that way. Nowadays it seems to me that it's too much of a business, as far as I'm concerned. And we played for Wickham Wanderers because we wanted to play for Wickham Wanderers, not because you got paid for it, etc., etc. Which to me nowadays, a lot of footballers, that's all they're worried about is the money. You know, then they haven't got a lot of. I suppose they have in some ways, you know, the affinity to the club. But there's things that go on in the game today that I don't really agree with, like loan players, because I don't think loan players have the same affinity with a club as somebody who's signed for the club and is a member of that club. I mean, it's like last year, you know, we two or three players we had, good players, went back to their own clubs. So then you have to start from scratch again in the summer, and then we have another load of loan players in this season, and then they'll go back. That's what I don't like about the game today.
And Vince, I guess in the modern game as well, you don't get players who stay at a particular club for so long, so perhaps wouldn't have this connection that you
want. No, that's right. I think there's another word that's just come to me at the minute, other than family. It's the word proud. And I'm proud to have actually worn the blue quarters all those years ago. And hopefully that's gone down through my family as well, because I'm fortunate enough to have grandchildren. And, you know, they reminisce in that and various other bits. So they come to the games with me and all this sort of thing. So it's a continuation of the family spirit, the proudness and everything that's applying for Wickham Wanderers Football Club. So long may it continue.
Real pleasure chatting to you, Vince Faulkner and Keith Samuels as well. Big thanks also to Wickham Wanderers Ex-Players Association, who have their annual dinner on the 15th of next month. Let's turn our attention now to the women's team though, and it was fantastic to catch up with Axel Corlander, who has been enjoying a run in the team after injury, and as you can imagine has been playing football for some time.
I was probably about 4-5, and just, I mean, it's very vivid, but it was either play kiss chase or play football, and I chose football. And that was pretty much it. In the playground there was those two games, and I was like, football sounds more fun, so I'll go do that. Yeah, and it's stuck ever since.
And how did you go about finding your position? Did that come quite naturally?
No, it has not, if I'm all in all honesty. I think I have started, I think throughout my life, I think I have played generally every single position on a football pitch, from goalkeeper to centre-back, left-back, right-back. I've played wing, I've played midfield, centre-mid, 8, 6, 9. I played as a 10. So I guess in a positive way, it gives me experience across the pitch and I can kind of slot in and do a job wherever I'm needed. But on the other side, it obviously doesn't allow you to have consistent time in one position. But I think I started off as a striker when I started playing for my local team when I was 16. And obviously I've come back around to that. So obviously I must have a natural, more natural ability towards that position than any other, I think is probably the answer.
You're like a Swiss Army knife for a team. You could literally could be deployed anywhere.
Yeah, and that happened quite a lot in pre-season with Carl experimenting with different solutions and different options. And I end up playing, I think I played CDM in one game. I played centre-back quite a lot because Milana kept heading the ball with her nose. So there's a few nosebleeds that I had to fill in for. And yeah, I've played in a 10 every now and again, I think. But now, you know, we're so strong across the board that we've got, you know, strength in every position. We've got double ups in every position almost. So I think me having to fill in as such is probably going to be less of a necessity this season. You never know. But obviously, I think for Carl and the team, it's good to have players that can step in and fill in different positions when we really need it.
I was going to say, is that really nice for you in a way? Because it shows your versatility and also that you can be, you know, used it in different ways if the manager needs you.
Yeah, it's a good, I think it's a positive thing to have. You know, obviously, I think every player wants to be able to play in what they feel is their best position and really shine in those areas. But yeah, I think for me, I try and see that quality as a positive, and hopefully, you know, Carl sees that as a positive and he can use me wherever he needs me throughout the season. But hopefully it's mainly up front and picking up some goals across the season as well.
Have you got a favourite?
It's hard to say. I think in a dreamland, I think playing as an 8 would have been the ultimate dream because Frank Lampard was my favourite footballer and is my favourite footballer. So to have been able to emulate him in some way would have been incredible. And that's probably why I think I like to shoot from outside the box so much, because I used to do that in the garden and I used to see him do that on a regular basis as a Chelsea fan. So, yeah, I think that would have been the dream. But when I'm in my flow and I'm playing well, I think 9 is somewhere I really shine. You know, I think anything going forward is my favourite. I don't think I'm suitable as a winger. As much as I'd like to pretend I'm Usain Bolt, I'm not the fastest player in the squad. And I think wingers are naturally very, very fast people, unless you're David Beckham. But yeah, I think anywhere going forward, I really enjoy.
And I remember from speaking to you before, open brackets, heard it back just now, close brackets, that you were saying that, you know, that there's so much more to your game than just goals as well. And you like to involve other people and get them involved in sort of attacking as well.
Yeah, I think that's a natural part of my game because I have such a good passing range and passing ability. I think something that, you know, coming deep and being someone that can secure the ball up front and then play people in, I think is probably a strong skill that not a lot of strikers in our league have. I think a lot of them are, from what I've seen, and I'm probably not the best to say, oh, this team has this kind of player and that team has that kind of player, because I only really care about my team and beating the team that's in front of us. I don't really pay attention to what the opposition can do in terms of, you know, being worried about their skill set, because I think we're better than anybody else in the league anyway. But, you know, I think I have a different skill set as a striker than others, and I have to take advantage of that because, like I just said, I'm not the fastest. I'm not the slowest either, but I'm not the fastest. So me trying to, you know, break the lines and run through on goal is not going to have as high a result as the other stuff that I'm good at. So yeah, I think it's recognising where my qualities are and taking advantage of that. And yeah, bringing people into the game and linking up with players like Amani and Jess and Kayla and you know, everybody else that plays in those positions, I think is really important.
Because I remember from speaking to you before, no, really, honestly, this time, that you hadn't sort of comparatively been at the club that long, but you were just getting over some injuries and you didn't have as many, you know, minutes as you'd have liked. But does this season feel especially, you know, something that you look forward to because, you know, you've got over those injuries and now ready to go?
Yeah, definitely. There's, you know, there's a lot of positives that I have to hold on for this season, because this is the first time I've had to actually got to start a season in 3 seasons. So, you know, I think I have to remember that I've come a long way from where I was at, from what I went through. And female footballers right now in the last, what, 3, 4, 5 years, knee injuries have probably been like the most common thing that you're seeing across the board. So a lot of us are suffering and going through different journeys and different recovery periods with that. And I think comparatively to maybe some other players, mine has been far longer than it should have been. And, you know, I've done everything I can to get myself back to this stage. So I have to be really proud of that effort and the fact that I get to be part of this squad going into this season with big ambitions and big targets. It fills me with a lot of pride, and you know, all I want to do is contribute as much as I can, and hopefully I can do that this season.
And as well, it must feel like an exciting time to be involved with the team, especially, you know, with some of those names that you mentioned scoring goals at the moment. And I know, speaking to Carl before the start of the season, he was looking for extra creativity and attackingness in the team, which certainly seems to come to fruition.
Yeah, I think we've brought in some really talented players. I think we've already had a very talented squad anyway, but I think the new players that have come in pre-season, the likes of Pads, the likes of Kayla, the likes of Jess, you know, you've got strong players in Beth in midfield. I think you've got someone like Ailish that comes with experience and a very strong head on her shoulders. Ellen, who's come in as well, someone I've played with before, who's got an absolute rocket of a shot on her and a quality winger as well. I think everywhere you look on the pitch, it's just strength and depth, and I don't think there's many players or many teams in the league that can compete with what we have.
And you're not conceding many goals either.
No, I think Bobby and Leachy and Amber and the defenders all can be very proud of that we've worked really hard on ensuring that clean sheets are a big target for us this season, because, you know, if you keep clean sheets, then you only need to score one goal to win a game, and that's the biggest point, that's the most important thing. It's 3 points and a clean sheet, and, you know, it doesn't matter if you score one goal or 20. If you're winning games, you're putting 3 points on the board every week, then you're always in with a chance to win the league and really impress people around you.
And does it feel like there's some real momentum being built throughout the team?
Yeah, it's starting to flow, and I think the work is starting to show. I think having Carl and Matt together, working together, you know, they're starting to really build a plan of what they see. And I think week by week, it's starting to really sink in with the players. You know, hopefully every game is just going to get better and better and better. And when it comes to the big games, the big derby games, where it's a 6-pointer, you know, we walk out of those stadiums with 6 points, you know, the proverbial 6 points on the board, and keep ourselves top of the tables, you know, or getting as close to top of the table as we can.
And another qualifying round of the FA Cup this weekend, and it must have given you such a boost as a whole group to be involved in a game where you won 13-1 in the previous round.
Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't at that game. I was away with work, so I missed out on a big 13-1 victory. But I saw lots of pictures and I saw lots of celebrations, and I think everyone had a very good day that day. And, you know, hopefully this weekend, the draw's on our side, thankfully, this time around. But you can never underestimate your opponents. You know, it doesn't matter what league someone's in, especially in women's football. You never know what's going on at the bottom of the pyramid. Teams start again, new teams form from leaving a big club, and you never know what that team's going to be like. So you can't underestimate the Comets that we're going to be playing against. But hopefully, you know, the girls put on another good performance and it's another big win. I think it gets us through to the first round proper or qualify. I don't know. I don't pay attention to that bit, but I know Carl's very excited about the fact that if we win, it's a good day for everyone.
Obviously, wish you all the best for the game on Sunday. Hopefully you get to have a good impact and a good win and through to the next round of the FA Cup, whichever round that might be.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I really hope so. I hope everyone is putting them away, and, you know, hopefully I can open my account this weekend and get a couple of goals, because I feel like that's the one thing I'd like to be contributing more of if I can. Oh, well, when I can, because, you know, we've got a brilliant striker in Kayla, and I've got to support her as much as I can when I come on. And, you know, I think if I can contribute a few goals from the minutes I get, I'll be very, very happy.
And a fantastic opportunity as well for fans to get their football fix as well, with obviously the men's game being off on Saturday, and to come along and support you and the team.
Yeah, it's always nice to have, you know, a full stadium at Burnham. I think against in the first game, the 13-1 game that they won, I think there was a nice full crowd, and it would be lovely to see that again. And it's always nice to see young girls and young kids come along and get to experience football and get to be on the pitch, because I think we do little drills with them before the game and they go on for a little penalty shootout at halftime. So it's always nice to kind of, you know, let kids experience those moments because you don't get that every day. And yeah, I think when you've got a little bit of extra support in the stands, even though you might not think it or you might not realise it, you know, having people cheering for you, it gives you that little extra percentage to work that little bit harder. You know, and I think, you know, within yourself, you have to be willing to give everything you can on the day. But having that little extra support, that little extra shout, sometimes it is the difference between winning a tackle or not. So, yeah, hopefully a nice full stadium on Sunday and a nice win for everybody.
Well, it's been a real pleasure to speak to you. I wish you all the best for Sunday and the upcoming games. Thank you so much for your time.
No worries. Thank you.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire. And on your smart speaker.
Play Wycombe Sound.
This is Wycombe Sound.
Final part of this week's Wycombe Wanderer show, and with the club on the international break this weekend due to the, international break. It's been fantastic to catch up with a friend of the show, Jack Grimmer, and as you can imagine, he and the rest of the team very pleased with the side being on such a good unbeaten run at the moment.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're spot on. I think we've had a few talks, you know, on the show when things haven't been going as well, and it's, you know, forever a roller coaster of football, I guess, but I think, you know, especially getting the captaincy this season, I think I'm probably more relieved than most that this season seems to be going well.
And it feels like, well, it doesn't feel like 12 months ago, but it was around 12 months ago, I think we were speaking, when you're going through that run where, you know, you couldn't get a win, and but now it's the other way around where you've got this unbeaten run. And is that just sort of, as you say, sort of the cyclical nature of the game, or have there been specific things that you've been working on to get to this stage?
No, I think it's just been a progression. I think the gaffer has implemented his style and the way he wants to do things very slowly but surely. You know, there's been quite a big turnover of players, you know, over the last few transfer windows. But I feel like now we're kind of settled, and the new boys have settled in really quickly. And I think it's, no matter who's out there, I feel like everyone knows to, you know, the way the gaffer wants us to do things. And you know, it's taken time, you know, like you mentioned about the run last season that, you know, lasted longer than any of us would have wanted. But I think you're really starting to see the fruits of that now. You know, Rob Coog at the time was very patient, and, you know, thankfully, I think we're starting to pay that back now.
And obviously there's been a change in style of play, and that's quite noticeable, and there seems to be more energy in the team, and obviously strength and depth in the squad as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's that's, you know, one thing that has... is unnoticeable, I think, is this sort of style has changed. You know, the gaffer has managed to change the style quite dramatically, but also while winning games, which is never easy. You know, I think that was our stumbling block last season, that we were a team not quite sure what we were. I think, you know, we weren't really being a long ball team, and we weren't really a short passing team. So we kind of got stuck in the middle, and I think towards the end of last season, we kind of figured out what we wanted to be. And I think this season it's carried on like last season, finished with some good momentum, good results, and most importantly, good performances, which has you know, raised, I think, everyone's spirits at the training ground.
And as players, do you find, is there a point in the season where you think, oh, this is how, you know, we kind of know whereabouts we are now in our level? I remember speaking to the previous manager, and he said, sort of asked me after six or seven games, speaking to Phil regularly on the show, he often says, oh, about 10 games in is a good chance to kind of gauge where everyone's at. But we're just short of 10 games, I've observed. But it's 9 games. Is that a good gauge?
Yeah, for me, it's normally a third of the season. You know, I think you look at Exeter last season, and they started off extremely well. After about 6, 7, 8 games, and then they dipped off massively. And I think for me, especially with the international breaks, I think teams can come back and their form can change dramatically, and then they can slip down the table. So I think after about 15 games, for me, it's about a third. You then start to think that teams are going to be in and around where they're hoping to finish. You know, barring one or two that maybe make a surprise push for the playoffs from, you know, 15th, 16th. Kind of nearly like we did last season, actually. You know, I think after about a third of the season for me, I think you then start to see everyone settle down into roughly where, you know, predominantly they are going to be for the season, I think.
It seems very tight and competitive and close as well. Obviously, not many points separating the sort of top 10 even.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's brilliant for us. You know, we were fourth, and then I think we're fifth now. And it is. It's brilliant for us, but we are under no illusion that the league is so tight. If we don't win next weekend against Peterborough, then, you know, I'm sure that we can slip down the table quite dramatically, to be honest, because the league is so tight. It's, like I said at the start of the season, I think it's the most competitive league I've seen for quite some time. A lot of teams have spent some big money, but I think the majority have ambitions of promotion and the playoffs. So, you know, it's not often that you see that, you know, the majority of the league want to achieve something. So it is, it's a tough league. It's a very, very competitive league. And, you know, the start has helped us, but, you know, by no means does that mean, you know, anything for us. We need to keep pushing and taking each game as it comes.
And it feels like a bit of a cliche, doesn't it? But they say that being on an unbeaten run or winning run, that kind of breeds confidence and belief. And is that something that you can feel as players as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I think one of the most cliche things that, you know, I hear other players saying is that you have to take one game at a time. But I feel like that's why we've been so good this year. I think we have ideally just focused on the next game that's in front of us. And you know, previous years, I think we used to group the games into fives or sixes and discuss how many points we wanted. Whereas this season, I feel like we're just committed to each individual opponent, because I think you have to give them the respect they deserve. You know, even Crawley Town on Saturday when we won, you know, it was only 1-0. And I think people can maybe get into the habit, because we're doing so well, thinking that we'll blow away every team. But, you know, it's by no means that, you know, even the teams down the bottom of the league are fighting for their lives already this season. And it's, you have to play each game on its merit in respect of the opponents. So I think it's something we've been very good at this season, to be honest. And I think that's why, you know, that's probably one of the contributing factors to our success.
Because obviously it just shows how important momentum is as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's one of the reasons we want to, you know, beat Crawley in the Papa John's and qualify in that tournament. And because winning just breeds winning. You know, we've seen it last season that tournament kind of saved our season, because we had a pretty lousy league campaign compared to the standards that we've previously set. And I feel like that gave us a sort of relief from the league. You know, it gave the fans something to shout about in a great day at Wembley. So I think, you know, we've definitely got the squad to challenge in that tournament now as well. And especially with the FA Cup coming around the corner in November, it's, you know, makes it all the more exciting. And the cup runs can, you know, they shouldn't be just looked down on. You know, they are something that breeds winning, and it can definitely contribute to our league form.
And fantastic for the manager to be shortlisted for Manager of the Month for September, which I'm sure, you know, he'd say is a great credit to the players as well. But it seems a fantastic reward as well for his hard work too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's, you know, the hours he puts into the job are just remarkable, to be honest. And he, to be getting the plaudits that he deserves, you know, I'm just grateful that the team are managing to get the results and pay him back in that manner. And, you know, I'm sure with the work he puts in, I'm not surprised at all that the plaudits are coming. And, you know, hopefully he wins it, because it would be brilliant and it would sort of top off what's been a solid start for us this season.
And you must feel as well, sort of personally, with your own game, and because it feels like there have been, in a way, that the Stockport postponements come at a nice time in a way, because the fixtures seem to be quite coming thick and fast, especially in the last couple of months.
Yeah, absolutely. I think since the last international break, when the Mansfield game got called off, I feel like there has been a lot of midweek games. Now, we're very lucky, actually, that we have quite a big squad to rotate. And, you know, we've got, when we make substitutions and we rotate players in, I really don't think it weakens us. So the gaffer's probably in a very privileged position that he's assembled quite a squad to deal with the game load. But it is nice, I think, for everyone who's been playing, who's not been playing, just to get time with their families, time with their friends, and you know, just kind of try switch off a bit, because, you know, when we come back, we've got another busy period, and then, you know, before you know it, you're into Christmas, which is extremely busy. So it'll be a well-deserved break, I think.
And fantastic that, you know, the whole team got such credit for the way they performed against Villa as well. And that must have given everyone a real boost as well, just to be playing against a team at that level, but you know, doing themselves such a credit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the boys were tremendous that evening. You know, even in the round before against Swansea, they were just incredible. You would have been mistaken probably on both evenings for not realising who the Championship side was and then who the Premier League side was against Villa. So I think that's, you know, credit to the boys that were out there. They've been, you know, I think it says a lot about just how well they keep themselves in shape when they're not playing, and they know the tactics that the gaffer wants to employ, so that when called upon that they're ready. And, you know, we do have a big squad, which, you know, can probably be tough for the gaffer to manage at times, but I think it you know, gives back to the players that are working so hard behind the scenes when we get nights like the Aston Villa game, which they deserved massively.
And you must feel the real backing of the fans as well, especially it's easy to say when things are going well, but it's nice to be able to, you know, have travelling fans who go in their numbers and also obviously good home crowds as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's absolutely. You're spot on. It's the cup is, you know, a brilliant thing, and you know, the like I said, the FA Cup's coming around the corner, which, you know, we want to win the first round, we want to win the second round, and hopefully get that nice cup tie in the third round, which would be brilliant for our season to add to the Aston Villa tie for sure.
And it feels like there are so many nice individual stories within the team as well, you know, with Josh getting his appearance, you know, landmark, and Richard Kone obviously doing fantastic and his story as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, you know, the players deserve all the credit that they get, to be honest. I think it's been, you know, a lot of changes at the club, you know, moving to Harlington and the ownership group coming in, and it's, you know, been a lot of sort of just change, to be honest. So it is, I think all the players, like you mentioned there, especially Joshy, who's been so consistent during his time at Wickham, is just incredible. And, you know, Richard Kone is another one that he deserves everything he gets in football, because, you know, he's one of the nicest guys and one of the happiest people I've played with. And, you know, I've no doubt he has an extremely bright future. You know, I think even from when he first came in, we all kind of could see the raw talent that was there. And I think it speaks volumes of the coaching that he's had at Wickham, that he's been given that platform to go on and really excel into the player that we know he can be. And it's I'm sure that the only way is up for him from now on.
And Jasper being a great story as well. It's fantastic to see him sort of work his way up through the club, and obviously vying for your position as well. But, you know, competition is something that you're welcome, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Jasper is sort of one that's gone under the radar. But when he came in last season, because of injuries, he'd done incredibly well. And he also did well. One of the things I loved the most is he did well for, you know, not just one game, two games, three games. He came in and played about 10 to 12 games, I think it was, which, you know, I know myself, to go constantly week in, week out is not easy over that length of time. So he's, you know, I do, if he wasn't my position, you know, I think I would wish he played more, but because he is a great guy, and he's a great guy to have in the changing room and things. But like you said, their competition's healthy to keep everyone on their game. And you know that, you know, the future's bright when you've got people like him snapping at your heels.
And so exciting for fans, players like Berrelli and Fred as well. And, you know, there seems so much more to come from everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the gaffer had kind of mentioned it on Saturday, because I feel like the Crawley game wasn't by far a good performance from us. I think the standards that we've set, I think we're always striving for more. And the gaffer had kind of alluded to it after the game, that he feels that we are a side that's still growing, which is exciting. You know, hopefully in a few months' time, I'm still saying the same thing, but I feel like there's more to come from us. I feel like we are a team that's hungry to get better. And, you know, by no means have we been satisfied with, you know, the start to the season, because you see how, you know, Birmingham are doing and Wrexham and the teams, you know, right at the first and second places. You know, that's the aim, that's the sort of level that we need to aim to be at. So it is, it's exciting. I think the, you know, with lots of changes, I think things are now starting to settle out and balance out a little bit, which is very much welcomed, I can imagine. But, you know, like you said there, we are a side that's, you know, ever always hungry to get better, and, you know, not sort of rest on your laurels, because the minute you do that, everyone else starts to catch up.
I'm sure fans will be interested, especially when games are postponed due to an international break. As players, do you get time off, or do you train more, or is it a very different week for you?
Yes, so we've gotten the weekend off, which is, I can assure you, is very much welcomed. I think we've had a lot of time on the road as well. You know, we're going up to Barnsley and away to Bristol, and we've had a lot of hours on the coach and spent together. So we've got the weekend off to spend with our families, which is quite rare in football. And I can assure you that everyone's very much looking forward to it. And, you know, it's almost like you come up for a breath of fresh air just for a little bit before you go back down and start going into the thick of things again. So, like I say, it's a very warm and welcome break for us, and, you know, the players can go away and spend time with their families, and you know, especially players that aren't from necessarily around the area, like myself. I'm going back to Scotland, and you know, I'm very, very excited to see my niece and nephew and spend time with family.
And Scotland are playing on Saturday, of course, as well.
Yes, absolutely, yes. So I'll be trying to catch that if I can, definitely.
Well, it's been brilliant to speak to you. Really appreciate your time. Have a great weekend with your family, especially in Scotland. I look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Tom and Colin, thank you for having me.
Real pleasure chatting to Captain Jack Grimmer, who is off this weekend with the rest of the team as well. They return to action a week on Saturday at home to Peterborough. That'll be a tasty encounter, of course. And don't forget, if you do want to get, as mentioned a little earlier on, your football fix, you can cheer on the Cheer Girls at Burnham on Sunday. They take on Comets in the third qualifying round of the FA Cup, looking to get into the first round proper. We'll be featuring more from them on next week's show, more from the men's team as well. We'll hear more from Phil and more from the Wickham Wanderers Ex-Players Association as well. Possibly other stuff too. Brilliant news for the foundation as well, becoming runner-up in the Bucks Business Awards this week. And lots of great news from the club. Don't forget, if you're not around on a Thursday from 7, there's a podcast available wherever you get your podcast from, normally the next day. We're on YouTube and the Wickham Sound Radio Player page, and on the Listen Again on the website as well, wickhamsound.org.uk.